Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Praise his glorious name. Glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. To Pastor Gerald Overall, known as Pastor O, for Running for Christ Ministries, and the lovely wife Sheila, and the saints and friends at Running for Christ Ministries. Amen. The church where Heart Rotters go. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, just thanking God right now for this opportunity as they come. I'm telling you, saints, if you're paying attention, time is moving on, but time is coming to an end. Think about that. Time is coming to an end, and we will be into the eternity. I mean, you got to get this, you got to let the Holy Ghost give you the revelation you need, because, you know, my focus has changed on a lot of things, you know. And, I mean, because we're looking at something marvelous. We have a conversion of events that has never happened in history. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Gracious, blessed, holy, heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this marvelous opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you for the price that you paid for this opportunity. We thank you for the revelation of it all, for the revelation of Jesus, for the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross. Amen. And enduring the degradation to provide our salvation. And then you sent back the Holy Spirit to be a guide, a teacher, and a comforter. And we thank you, Holy Ghost, for being with us every step of the way. Father, right now we ask that you continue to bless, amen, with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask more that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the great inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power you made available to those who submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you continue to bless us with the knowledge of your will each and every day. Give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Father God, right now we ask that you bless us, amen, to continue to grow in the knowledge of you, because you are so vast and beyond our most deepest imagination. Father, I ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we started last week. Those of you that I posted a video, so you can go to Our Overall Senior on YouTube and see it. I started with power and love. Power and love. Not power of love, but power and love. And this is going to go all probably to the rapture. No, but really, I talked about the training day, how it came to me, how it was presented to me. I mean, this started with a question that I posed to God, because I had never heard the answer. I had never heard anybody else pose the answer, the question. And I understand that out of respect for God, and because God has been so good to us that it really people just didn't want to know, I guess, but I was curious. I mean, it was something that I needed to know. But not only that, when I encountered atheists, it was a constant question about the condition of the world and the condition of people's lives and all the trials and challenges. And the Bible story itself is something out of a Marvel comic book novel. I mean, it's not, I mean, to read it, you really have to really just let go, as they say, and let God give you the revelation. I guess they forgot to put that part in there, let go and let God. But you do need a revelation from him. You know, I'm an advocate of always asking God about it, because the question I posed to God, you know, I was humbled. I was bowed before God. I wasn't questioning his ability, his authority. I wasn't questioning his decision making. He's God. I just wanted to know to fit that piece into the puzzle, why you even let the devil exist. And then after about 3 months, he unloaded on me, you know, in a quiet moment. He started talking. And so don't get discouraged if you ask God a question and he don't immediately answer. I don't know all the reasons for that, but when he does, he'll catch you at a quiet moment. And you have to be prepared for this, because think about it. If you ask people, if you communicate with people about God, you'll find even a lot of Christians struggle with him. They struggle with this life. See, I don't struggle with it. You know, I've been confused about a lot. I've had some fights and battles with the devil, and I've learned. I've been taught, and I learn and know how to fight him. You know, he can't just run up and hit me and get away with it. You know, if he swing on me, you're going to get multiple blows back. See, and it's understanding how this life is structured and how God has planned it out, and then operating in that plan. You know, walking in the Word, not just quoting a bunch of scriptures, but really seeking to be developed into the spiritual person that God wants us to be. And so last week we began with the foundation scriptures for training day, which is found in 1 John 3:2. Really? Oh, okay. 1 John 3:2. Got it on me. All right, give me a second here, and I'm going to pull it up so I can read it, because I want to read it. I don't want to miss none of it. I won't, because I got new people. I meet new people. I make it a point to meet new people. You know, you will find there are people in the world. Peter said, be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that lies within you. In other words, you need to be able to explain to people why you believe in the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I see people all the time with, they have a lot of different beliefs, and they've never sanctioned it with the Word of God. I can tell by what they believe. See, for instance, my Catholic brothers and sisters still praying to Mary. Mary does not answer prayer. Even in their Bible, that isn't in their Bible. There's no Pope in their Bible, but they believe that. And they need to pick it up and read it, because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed before God, rightfully dividing the word. You know, you can't stand, you're not going to stand before God saying, he told me. He's like, I'm going to deal with he, but I'm dealing with you. See? And so let's read in this 1 John here. It says, Beloved, that means you're surrounded with love. That's the intentional. It says, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, we talked about the fact of what the details of that we shall be as he is. You know, that's tremendous in and of itself, because you're talking enormous power. We read the Bible. See, we think when we read terms in the Bible, we think that it's religious. And it's not really talking about us in the manner that we really are. Because you really have to, again, you really have to let God in and give you the revelation. See, it's beyond being human. That's what that's talking about, beyond being human. I talk to people, and I can tell that they think I'm way out on the deep end when I talk about the fact that Jesus teleported. See, they didn't use that term. It says he appeared in John 20:19 and in John 20:26. He appeared before the disciples, and they immediately, and I get it, because I did with the first time I read it. Well, that's Jesus. But what
what that was Jesus, but when he seated on the cross and sent back the Holy Spirit, and we received Christ, the Holy Spirit, in that package, that became us. But the difference is Jesus, having come from heaven, having full knowledge of all of life, know how to handle that power. He doesn't have to learn anything. We, though, have to learn. That's what this life is about. This explains all these different events and about specifically the 1,000-year reign. Why 1,000 years? Why would God, why not go? Because that was another question I asked God. Okay, the Lord, why don't you go straight to the New Jerusalem? You know, why 1,000 years? Well, we're a different type of character then. Now, again, your verification should be kneel before the Lord and ask him, is this so? Because he has to sanction that in your heart. I'm satisfied with it. All right, so, and again, we read the other portion, and there are many others. In Philippians chapter 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is soon to appear, amen, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Don't just read that like and just go off. Just sit down, ponder, ask God, say, Lord, bless me with the revelation of that what I just read. Because, again, think about this. I mean, I remember when somebody, I hadn't thought about the fact that, you know, my father deposited 100 million sperm inside my mother. What went on in there? Now, mind you, there's no, even though they call women baby makers, that activity that went on comes from the spirit that God breathed into Adam. Even though we don't have full cognizance of each and every activity, you know, it went on. It, the spirit of man inside my mother's womb, built a body. I mean, think about it. Organized at the DNA level, cells, trillions of them, specifically 200 different types of cells, made them into organs, and then launched me out of the body, out of my mother's womb, with a full body. Note that. Went in, sperm cells came out with a full body. That right there should tell you that we're into something that is far beyond our imagination. See, and what happens with us is we get out, we see all these trinkets that Satan created. That's all we want is the toys. We don't want to focus on the reality of God and what his intention and plan is. This junk down here, which is going to be destroyed at the end of the 1,000 years, is nothing. It's nothing. We have to build planes. In Acts 8:39, Philip didn't go to the airport to go to the next city. He teleported in. God let him teleport. I mean, you got to get a revelation in the sense of the fact that this all happens how. Then we went to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Jesus said, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have power. That's a boost. That's a boost power. That's a super, super, super. We call it supernatural. It's beyond the natural. And that is God. It is not a lesser God. It is not a lower God. It is not a smaller God. It is not a less powerful God. He just got sense enough to know that we don't know how to handle all that he can do. Some of us, we're going to talk about that, I guess, today, about, here we are, about that power. Now, that particular power we identified in Acts, and this is why you have to have Bibles and study Bibles and study equipment. There's a Bible, because the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and a lot of words that we have in English are not in Hebrew. And so sometimes you will find, as we see here, we have in Acts 1:8, we have the word power, but it's called dunamis in the Greek. versus the one we're going to talk about today, which is in John 1:12. So you can put a finger over there or however you do it. And that's exousia. But when you see it in English, you see power. So this is how people get limited interpretation and misinterpretation of what is going on. Because the hardest thing I find that breaking people away from religious thinking is almost as bad as getting people, as challenging as getting people off crack. Because with religious thinking, what that really is about is I want to limit how far I will expose myself to God. I want to limit how much I will allow God to expose himself to me. I'm telling you, you pick any denomination and you send me an email and I'll tell you what they don't believe. Why would you don't believe something that's in the Bible that you don't have authority to don't believe it? I know I just gave an English teacher a headache, but got to hear you. All right? Listen. We're talking something here also. I'm giving you basic details. I'm not giving you deep stuff, okay? Because if you don't get the basics, you know, it's like driving a car. If you don't know where the brakes are, you're going to have a wreck. And I've seen lots of spiritual wrecks. I'm seeing people now. I'm going to leave that alone. But it's people now struggling, and they don't know why. Because things have changed. All the dynamics has changed. God put the power. Listen, think about that statement. Now, that statement is started back 33 AD around that time, and it has been in effect ever since. Okay? We have the power. I hear people asking God to do things he has empowered us to do, instructed us to do, and then they wonder why they don't get an answer. Well, God don't ask, God don't pray. He gave us authority to pray. All right. So we described that dunamis power was power for performing miracles. That's overthrowing Satan's strongholds. Okay? And that again, the qualification is, well, being born again, being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm a favor of, I know from experience, Ephesians 5:18. You know, I was thinking earlier today, people tell me they worship at home. Listen, anybody that spend time with God going to church, God is never going to go against his word. In his word, he say go to church in Hebrews 11:10-25, then you should go to church. Because, one, you need the backup. We talked about that. You need that backup. I got some friends at church. You know, I don't need to know the whole church. I got some brothers at church that they pray. I know they pray, because every time there's a prayer war, they're there, if they can be. But they pray, okay? And you need somebody. That's where we're going today. So we talked about that. Now, I really do want to look at sample of that dunamis power at work. So go with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, okay? Now, and the reason I'm pointing this out, now you have to be, I'm learning, God is looking to introduce himself to people, and he does that through miracles, oftentimes, through people. I have seen him bless people that barely believed in him. They wondered about him, but they were not even in his family, but he blessed them mightily and left them without doubt. He did me like that November 16, 1976. I wasn't expecting him to. I was hoping, actually kind of hoping, I was split that nothing would happen. But something did, and I've been this way ever since. Every time I feel like I want to quit, I have to remember I didn't just decide to just. I had decided to go the other way, and he made it clear I can't doubt God. I've been through too many times. I've been down in the pits. I like to say I've been up, I've been down. It's war. That's war. You ain't going to hit the devil all the time and he not hit you, okay? It just don't work that way. But part of that is the reason for that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, 37-39, said there are two things you just master. Love for God with everything you got and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, think about that. That right there should initiate in your mind that you're going to have challenges. But again, to face the challenges, we have a tool that they didn't even have back then, almost a full revelation of God's word. See, so we have their experiences documented for us in the Bible so that we know how to do this battle. It's kind of like now we live with technology that my mother and them never knew, never saw, never handled. And that's only a generation ago. And we are further along. So it's no excuse for us to walk in weakness, none whatsoever. We got the Bible every kind of way it can be made. It's just incredible. All right. So let's read this. Let's check this out. This is God introducing himself. And now Peter and John went up to the temple at about the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. That's still over there for people that like to say the Bible is mythological. Well, they done dug up all that stuff over there, so go ahead and qualified it. So anyway, to ask alms for those who entered, like them guys that be standing on the corner. Amen. If you give somebody some money, pray over it first. Put your anointing on it. Don't just give them the money. Let that look, because I've seen people disappear from that corner from praying over that money. All right. It says, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple? Ask for alms. Okay. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now that right there is a... In our time, we would call that a physiological change, cellular reconstruction, or whatever it took. Amen. The damage that Satan had caused, Satan did do that, okay? John 10:10. You know, people put stuff on God that ain't on God. Listen, let me tell you something. You have to be, I would say, where I am in Christ for God to do something. He won't do it, it don't just happen, okay? The one time I got, the couple of times I got smacked came with pre-warning, okay? You know, I mean, it was really unique. One time was for helping a Christian, man. Can you imagine that? Because it interfered with what God was doing with them, okay? The other time I was young in the Lord, and I was trying to be, you know, you hear people say, God understands, he know we made out of flesh. Well, he wasn't buying it from me. So, you know, if you get a sense in your spirit, don't do it, don't go there. The third time it was going to happen, I remember the other two times, I'm like, I ain't going there. But the point here is, okay, Satan did that, but God overthrew his dominance over that. That's what that's about. And God is going to use us in this way. Why he don't fix the whole world? Well, again, he's God. He does, that isn't part of the plan. But part of the plan is for us to do the work, and a lot of work, and the work that he give us to do. You know, I had this experience time once where I believe I should have been doing more. You know, I should have been allowed to do more. You know, and God patiently said, just do what I gave you to do. Because, you know, God causes things. God raises up whom he will raise up to do. But, you know, you take any church. What good would it do if everybody in the church is a pastor and nobody does anything else? The pastor has to do the ushering, the pastor has to collect the offering, the pastor has to do the technology run or whatever, you know what I'm talking about, run the microphone, the pastor has to do everything. No, it ain't. He needs to set time. He needs to have time to study and hear from God. Listen, that's pastors appreciate what everybody do, and God appreciate. Listen, when you're in a church, whatever success the church has, you get credited for it. It doesn't matter if all you do is open doors for saints entering and exiting the building. Whatever, every soul that gets saved, everything the church does, when they feed the hungry, when they minister in the hospital, you get credited for that as one body. We're one body. So it doesn't matter if you ever get a title. When you get to heaven, you're going to be shocked at how much reward you have simply because you did what you were told. That's all. You don't hear all the disciples in the Bible. You just hear a few. But they took all of us. It's called body of Christ. Amen. Maybe we should go there in Romans, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But right now I want to do one more, okay? And let's go to Acts chapter 14. And this one is Paul. For people that are struggling, Paul really helped me get loose because me and Paul and Peter share a commonality, and that is growing pains. That's the way I'll label it. The main thing about this life is not to quit. Listen, if you can see Satan coming or the demon that he assigned to you, if you can see what they was up to, if you can read their mind and knew what they was going to do, a lot of things we do that are wrong, we would not do, but that is not the case. Remember I said, God said, love him with your whole heart and mind? Well, that comes under pressure. It's easy to do when nothing is going on. It's easy to do when no one is bothering you. It's easy to do when there's no pain. It's easy to do when you got a refrigerator full of food. But when change, like it has for a lot of people recently, that's when he knows that you love him above all things. See, that comes with the price because that tells God what you're going to do with full power. We don't have full power. Science, though, we use what? 15% of our mind, 15% of our focus. We have a whole spirit from God, and the Christians have the Holy Spirit from God, and yet and still we have to live within the limitations that we allow. And they say 15%. We should be able to do as Philip did and teleport, and as Jesus did and teleported. Jesus in Acts chapter 1, I think verse 9, just floated on up to space. We should be able to travel. We will in the next life, part 2, as I call it, but not now. You need to really focus, and the only way you're going to focus is being in submission to God. Only way you're going to focus. This here. They had to trust God to do this, and I'm learning this process. You know, God give you a small assignment. He won't start you out big. He won't start you out with a church with 10,000 people and him doing miracles. You're going to start out small. You might be in Crovis, and you got to get sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his direction. Now, you know, you can, as far as I know, you know, but you got to be, I ain't going to say precocious, but you got to be conscious of your environment. You know, you don't want to look silly as a Christian. So you want to be, what they say, inconspicuous. You don't want to be in there shouting and praising God real loud, trying to draw attention to yourself. Even though it's there to glorify God, you let the person. And what I'm talking about, if you're in the store and you just, out of love, want to pray for somebody. You see riding in one of them carts in a grocery store and they need healing. You should be trained in that, you know, as how to approach them. I wouldn't do it if you don't know how to even pray. And actually, the Bible said they laid hands on the sick. the Lord demonstrated that to me once. I was in a hospital and with a prisoner And I had been sent to the hospital. He was already there, and he was in a coma. And when I got there, I had already posed the question to God, do we have to pray along with laying on of hands? So when I got there, he told me to just touch his toes and just whisper in Jesus' name. And the next day when I returned, he was no longer in a coma, and he somehow recognized who I was. He even got saved. Amen. Because he knew he would have, if he hadn't got delivered, he would have been on his way to hell. But so you become, you learn how to hear God. That's the biggest thing. And I'm of the mind that they heard God. They started, and that it was a learning process. So you're not going to grow without trying to. I seen a statement on Facebook say you got to be willing to look goofy sometimes. Or willing to be wrong, okay? You're really not wrong, because I remember laying hands, praying for a man that had, I don't know, some type of giant growth on his neck. My expectation that it would be immediately healed. I didn't see him anymore after that. He agreed, amen, and I was just looking for an opportunity to see God glorified. God probably was glorified. He just didn't do it right then, you know? And there have been times when the presence of God was so great, it was no doubt in my mind, because the Holy Ghost was just swelling up in me. See, there is different. The key to this is learning to be submissive to God. All right. So, and that life, I'm reading in Acts chapter 14, verse 8, and I'm reading out the New King James Version. It says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Now, see, the key factor there, too, Paul saw that he had strength. He could see in his face, amen, by revelation of the Holy Ghost. The only way you know these things is through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a thing. In Acts 13:2, he talks, okay? He will talk through you. That is God talking, but something told me. No, it ain't no something. Amen. It was either angel of the Lord or the Holy Spirit if you receive Christ as your Savior. Okay, which we're going to give. So bottom line here is, this is dunamis power, all right? And so we're going to move on to John 1:12, and that is exousia. Same word, but yet in the Greek, it yields something different. And it reads, it said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now that's a tremendous statement. That's one of the phrases, one of the scriptures we use when we be out street witnessing on the street, because everybody is a creation of God, but everybody is not a child of God, because if they were, it would not say he gave them power to become a child of God. It would, if it was not that case, he would not say that he gave them power, authority, okay? Now, in the Greek, exousia, it said the power of choice, the liberty of doing as one pleases, leave or permission, the physical or mental power, the ability or strength which one has been endued, which he either possesses or exercises, power of authority or influence, of right and privilege, the power of rule or government, and in this case, the kingdom of God, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others. And in our case, is our authority over Satan. This is where you get, when you receive Christ, this is what you get. You get power to become the child of God, the son of God. Now, that reverses, in your particular case, what happened when Adam lost authority in the garden. Now, for the new people, let me give you a brusher on that. I got videos on that. You need to run through them and learn the process of how this life goes. And by the time you get through them, I thank you for that 20 people that always visit my website. Pray for me because I'm thinking about just doing YouTube only. But anyway, this is power right here. When Adam, in the original, matter of fact, for y'all benefit, I want to go back and read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I don't want you to just think that I just made this up. I want you to have it from the Word. This is Genesis 1, 26. This is when God has created the world. You need to study that chapter slowly and never read the Bible without praying and asking God for revelation. Okay? Never read a book about the Bible without asking God for a revelation. It said, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. People are struggling with that. I'm confused. Listen, your plumbing tells the story. This is automatic. You pray for people that you know are struggling with that. Don't argue with them. Ain't nothing you can say because God don't change people that don't want to be changed. Okay? They're struggling with something. It is a lot more going on than meets the eye. It is a spiritual battle, but what the biggest part is, as we're going to be talking about here, is that there is less Christians praying in the airways. All right. So God gave Adam dominion here. He gave man dominion here, and then the next couple of chapters, Adam sinned and he lost control of the earth. So we're going to go skip to where that is stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Guess I had to get the right one. There we go. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. It says, so you get it. Hallelujah. It says, start with verse 2. Well, now we'll start with verse 1. You know, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry of Jesus Christ, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, extracting revelation, again, this is why you seek God for revelation. Well, it calls him the God. Note that. If God gave dominion to man, and then he says, Paul says here to the Corinthians, he calls him the God of this age, that's where you see the change of authority. And there's a whole doctrinal teaching on that, and I'm sure there's a lot of that information on YouTube. And don't get caught up in that stuff about the angels having sex with women. That's not even possible. Matter of fact, Goliath was a Raphaim. See, people don't study hard enough. That's where you get into the Greek and the Hebrew. There were Nephilim, not good angels. Now, they could genetically manipulate and create giants. Giants were real. There ain't no problem there. How they got there is more about genetic manipulation They possess that skill. They don't have to go to medical school. They have the IQ in the 3,000s. So, you know, they don't need all the information that we need or the training. They got their training direct from God. That's why they don't get redemption. And they have no excuse to do the stupid that they did, the ones that did fall. And Michael and them like, man, that guy's a dummy. Point here is once you come into Christ, as we read in John 1:12, you regain your authority. And then comes the necessity to learn how to operate. Now, a lot of people don't even know they have authority. They're like people, I've seen people, I had a rusted gun that used to belong to somebody. I don't know why I don't throw it away. But anyway, they didn't know to take care of it. They didn't know how it operated. But they had it. I guess they pointed it at somebody. It might scare somebody, but that's what a lot of Christians are. They have a rusted, if it was possible for the Holy Spirit to rust, he would. I mean, he is living water, so, but it doesn't happen. So the point is you got to get your mind into the realm, the spiritual realm where God is, and think on those terms. Because as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these things are spiritually discerned. That is not a mental ascension. That is a realm. That is a different realm than what you can see with your eye. It is the realm that you live in. Remember, you are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotion called a soul, and you live in a body. Science cut paper thin slices of a brain trying to find the mind, and all it can find is the interaction between the spirit and the brain, producing the reaction that we have, such as my talking. Okay, they can see and document the energy activity, but as to what it really is, they refuse to acknowledge what the Bible says. You are a spirit. That's what you see in Genesis 2, verse 7, when God breathed, that breath carried life. It carried intelligence. It carried the ability to go into some dirt and construct 78 organs, all the blood vessels, all the cells necessary for Adam to breathe and function as a person. You got to look deeper into that aspect, because when a person dies and when we get raptured, they become 100%. 100%. Again, we don't launch people from Cape Canaveral to heaven. We don't send them on a launch pad in a casket. They are escorted by angels to their location, which is the throne of God, to report and give account for their actions. Fortunately, on their behalf, Jesus has paid the price for them. They just have to acknowledge it. Amen. Remember that. When you blow it, just acknowledge it. Do like David. Say, Lord, I have sinned. Don't make excuses. I did it yesterday. Just acknowledge it. And ask God for a revelation on how to overcome it. You're going to have battles. You're going to have, it is spiritual warfare. All right? All right. So we're talking about exousia. And one of the areas I want to go to right now, I'm due to release a book on this. I'm learning in this book writing to take your time. And I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because you need to understand this, and I'm going to start with verse 4, and then I'm going to skip down and read verse 9, because it's very important. Now, I have a teaching on this. it says, says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Okay, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 9. It says, but you are a what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. There are different types of prayers, you know, but one particular prayer can only be made by a born-again, blood by spirit-filled believer, and that's intercession. Now, it'll take some time to explain the process, but what you see, what I did in my book was I took, understand the priesthood. The only place you have the operation of the priesthood is in the Old Testament. And what I did was explain or highlight in the Old Testament under the law, under the directives that God gave Moses, and show how that operates today, particularly being in the priesthood. They were a segregated group of people, and that's where we are. We are a chosen generation. People talk about the Jews being chosen. Yeah, they chosen. It really ain't about the chosen. It's about the chooser. He the one got the power. Okay, God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. But they would make intercession for the people. In other words, stand in the gap. In other words, represent a man to God, and God would honor their authority. That's the key factor. And most people, I don't even, you know, it's not a debatable issue because people, not many Christians pray, which is a serious issue, but other people don't pray. You know, they'll pray when they need something. They just, but them, God is like a genie. I need this. God, can you help me? And he will. He will go through the process if he can. If he can, because if you got to understand how this world works. Satan has authority. He sees what the angels of God are doing. He hears what the saints of God are praying. And he don't need, they don't talk with cell phones. They use telepathy, okay? And we will be using telepathy, okay? I don't know the depths of that, but I do believe, I know God will always hear what you say. But see, you might be able to talk to your cousin who'd be on Mars, and I not hear the conversation unless you let me in on it, you know. We won't, see, we build mechanisms to do in the natural what we are going to be able to do in the spiritual. Now, that's very significant. We build travel vehicles. Well, we won't need travel vehicles. You know, I noticed that a lot of people, I would have to say every video that I've seen of people that have died and come back, I never see any mechanized devices in the background. It's always like go back to day one where it was farmland and flowers, but everybody was happy, okay? Now, with the exception of divine revelation of hell, hell's still the same. Point here is that God recognized it, what's going on in the earth. Matter of fact, let's look at the responsibility of that, and that's to one of my other favorite scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Okay, you with me? All right, it says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, a young pastor. It said, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. I will read that. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, you got to get this aspect. We are the body of Christ. We're the high priest. We the priest. And then there are levels. I'm not going to get into all that right now because we down to the last few minutes, but we will pick this up next week. But my main point here, when it talks about those in authority, okay, then you have to include rich people because money is power. Like it or not, agree with it or not, it is power. And Satan is able to manage and guide anybody that we don't intercede for. So rather than complain about what the rich do and don't do, pray about it. Pray, get a revelation from God what to pray about it, because then God can send angels to minister to them, to guide them in the way that he would have them to go. Everything going on with governments around the world is simply from the lack of Christians not being, not praying, not knowing their authority in God. And next week we're going to look at how Paul, not Paul, but Daniel, who only had the Holy Spirit on the outside, was able to get God to interact with the government leader. And that's in the Bible to show us that it can be done. And we operate at a greater level. America, it should not be in the state that it is, but it is indicative of our spiritual state. What you see happening in America is a revelation of the state of the church. You know, I heard something, I want to close with this today, about another church closing. You know, a denominational church, you can pretty much guess who it is. But how do you tell somebody after you've been open 60 years, they say they have a dwindling, a decline in attendance? Well, you know, people need to be, they need to know how to defeat the devil. You know, rituals won't work now. Religion that won't work now. People need things done. They need doors open. They need ways made. They need healing. And if you're not introducing them to the power of God, well, there's a consequence that's going to come with that, because right now there's a change in the dynamic. Things that God permitted, you see that in the Old Testament. There comes a time when what he allowed, he stops allowing. Matter of fact, in Acts 17:30, Paul talks about that, when men walked in sin and then that God winked at that. But it's now no longer the case. And we now, having all the revelation and teaching and access to the power of God and access, knowing how to approach the throne of grace, God is not, if you're not praying, you're not going to get an answer. It ain't going to just happen anymore. And that's what's going on. When churches, there are thousands of churches, and the Bible said it was going to happen. But that's on them. God hasn't changed. Satan ain't gained no power. God certainly hasn't lost any power. But the saints are not using power. Amen. Well, anyway, I hope I triggered something in your thinking, something for you to ponder. Don't just take this lightly. Put away Facebook and all that other stuff and let God talk to you sometime. All right? Amen. But let's go before the throne. Amen. Those who might have just accidentally tuned in, or this might be after the rapture and you're searching for answers. Well, it begins with Jesus Christ. It begins with the Lord God. You can't access God's throne without being washed in the blood, and you can only be washed in the blood of Jesus to do that. So just pray this prayer, this simple prayer. Lord God in heaven, I believe that Jesus is your son, that you sent him to die for our sin. And I thank you I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe with my heart, that I am saved and I am born again. And if you need to, if you're a saint that fell by the wayside, just say, Father God, I ask forgiveness according to 1 John 1:9. You said you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sin, and I acknowledge it to you. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. That's the part that gets me, how easy God is to turn things around. And with cleansing you from all unrighteousness come with, you have to take time, read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word. God will give you revelation. I mean, if you got a particular issue, you may have to call your church, and hopefully they have counselors that will counsel you. Amen. That's not the case in every church. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God is good, and I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for all my supporters and listeners. And then send somebody this. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button. Okay, let them know you're watching. You know, so this thing can stay on there because this, you know, amen, God is good. Just remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Last but not least, are the fruits of the spirit of self-control, without which none of these other fruits on this tree ever grow. The law of harvest says that you reap what you sow. So fertilize the roots, so the fruit is sweet when it shows. Yep, the last of the fruits of the spirit of self-control, which we have to produce for these other fruits to grow. The law of harvest says that you reap what you sow. So fertilize the roots, so the fruit is sweet when it shows. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say, day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say. And yo, hope y'all ready to roll, cause we gon' dive into self-control. And so let me define it. If you peep the Greek, you'll see that it means strength. And otherwise defined as one holding himself in. This is the virtue of one who masters all of his desires and all his passion. It's what's in effect when we deflect temptation that attracts us. It's God's giving grace to resist when Satan attacks us. It's the last of the list in the fifth chapter of the fruits that are given so we can live them in practice. But only God's spirit makes it active. It's a massive feat, like taking a whole city captive. It takes a mighty man to control his actions and watch what comes from his mouth, cause he can't put his back in. It's what God is crafting and those that he's drafted. So let's let him shape and mold us until we behold our master. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say. Walk with me on the scroll to the throne of grace of his highness, and recognize our need for what only he can provide us. Let's take our care to the Father in Jesus' name. Lord, we acknowledge you're worthy to be praised, and we confess that we've sinned against you today. I know I lack self-control and I need grace. I pray the same for my brothers and sisters listening. Help us to obtain a good measure of self-discipline. Cause as for me, I know that I can be impulsive, and how I interact with folks can even be imposing. At times I need you just for me to be quiet and tame this wild tongue, cause from it I breathe fires. Plus I got a war inside with lust and pride, and at times I need you to help me to just turn my eyes. So it's in the name of Christ we're taking our cares to you, and trust by the spirit that God will bear. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say.
Yo, so how do we grow in self-control? Well, let us ponder some thoughts that I get direct from the scroll. Now, though it soars as the spirit of God, we're still called to respond and contribute our part. Like when God delivered Israel out of the claws of Pharaoh and promised them a land they'd have to take by sword and arrow, to assure them that he'd give them strength and as he caused a miracle, gave them a victory by marching around the walls of Jericho. This is an illustration of the collaboration between God and man and sanctification. He promised them a land to dwell in. He promises to dwell in us, so when we're in the land we can reveal him. He gave them strength for the victory, and he provided with the grace to grow in self-control effectively. So first we pray for the grace of God, trust in him, then we put work in like a job. But self-control is more than just actions. It happens in the mind, so we take every thought captive. And if we aim to live lives that rep them well, we need self-control just to humble ourselves. It means forgiving, considering, and loving your brother. It's carried out in the heart that's given to none other than to God, who inspired his word to declare truth, so we can be living it out and bear fruit.
Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. In all of my deeds and the words I say.